Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The Lord wants to give you a vision. He wants each of you to have a vision. And I would like to talk to you this morning for a little while on the type of vision the Master would like for each of you to have. Whether you be a sinner or whether you be a Christian today, each of you need this vision. You need to know. You need to understand what God really wants you to see. And point number one, he wants you to understand the utter bankruptcy of humanity. That man is not going to be lost. Man is lost. That man is not going to become a sinner. He is a sinner. One of the greatest battles that I fight in dealing with people, and every week this happens to me on several occasions. Any one of you that's working as an altar worker or a person that's working trying to witness to people, individuals will make this statement to you. I've been good all my life. And they think that is going to let them inside the pearly gates. And it's not. There'll be a lot of good people that'll be in hell because they have not believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the thing you've got to understand is that all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. You heard the baby that was crying a few minutes ago? The mother took the baby out? That baby is a sinner. It doesn't have to become a sinner. It was a sinner when it was born into this world. The only thing is, until the baby comes to the age of accountability, the baby is under what is called safety. It has neither done good nor bad. And so when the baby comes to the point that it's old enough to be able to choose right from wrong, then that baby does not have to steal. It doesn't have to tell a lie. It doesn't have to murder anyone. It doesn't have to go out and commit any kind of sin. That baby is already a sinner. And not only is that baby a sinner, but the wrath of God hangs over that baby's head and eventually will be poured forth upon it unless it turns to Jesus Christ. When Adam sinned, he sold the whole human race down the drain. When Jesus came, he opened the door for the whole human race to be redeemed. But every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is a sinner. They're not going to be a sinner. They are a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner that's been redeemed from the pit of sin. But I didn't have to become a sinner. I was a sinner. So when you're dealing with people, the thing God wants you to understand is that you're dealing with sinners. It doesn't matter how many churches they have joined. That's not the requirement to be a Christian. Many people say, oh, but I was christened or I was baptized. So what? If you don't know Jesus, you're still a sinner. Amen. The only way that humanity can be redeemed is through Jesus Christ. And we've got to see the thing that causes me to preach, the thing that drives me to teach, the thing that compels me to be on radio, to be on television, to preach as often as I preach, is the fact that unless men come to know Jesus Christ, they will never enter into heaven. And all men are sinners, every one of them. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. Every one of them stand away from God and must be saved. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every kid that's in the ghetto this morning, unless he comes to know Jesus, He'll die and go to a devil's hell. You say, oh, but Brother Gorman, a loving God could not do that. A loving God's not doing it. A loving God is not the one that's doing it. The loving God gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what the loving God did. The loving God gave his very own that you might be saved. And the loving God stands today with arms outstretched that you can be redeemed. The loving God wants to meet you. When you recognize that, beloved, and you realize that all have sinned, that every person, and I want you parents to hear this very well this morning. Some of you can sit at the breakfast table, look across at your children, and talk about how good they are. They remember you at this time and at that time. They're so good. I don't care how good they are. If they don't know Jesus, they're sinners. And all sinners that have not repented will burn in a devil's hell. Was not created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. But the only way to stay out is through Jesus Christ. Not through the Assemblies of God. Not through the Catholic Church. Not through the Baptist Church. Not through the Presbyterian Church. The only hope is through Jesus Christ. That's why today that I can choose as point number two. The Lord wants you to catch a vision of the adequacy of the plan of salvation that was provided through Jesus Christ. Amen. There will never be a sinner that will come to Jesus that he cannot save. There will never be a person that's so vile, that's so corrupt, that's so chaotic in their whole moral life that he cannot cleanse and he cannot save. I want you to know that I join Paul today and say unto you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed today that I'll invite a person to this altar that cannot be saved. I'm not afraid today that any sinner, any alcoholic, prostitute, homosexual, name it, whatever they may be, every gambler that there is in the world, every prostitute in the world, every drunkard in the world, every sinner in the world could fall at the feet of Jesus today and begin to cry out for salvation, and it wouldn't even make a dent in the plan that God has. His grace is more than sufficient to meet the demand of every sinner that's living today. Amen. Did you realize that if every person living at this very moment who does not know Jesus was to plunge beneath that crimson stream of blood, that every one of them could be saved, and it wouldn't even make a dent in God's abundant supply to forgive you? Hallelujah. So when you think of God's divine grace, God's plan of salvation, God's ability to deliver, God's ability to set free, it does not diminish with the passing of the years. And it does not diminish with the being used by sinners that come to him. Hallelujah. There's still room at the cross for you. Oh, glory be to God. And I want you to know that at that long altar, and as C.M. Ward was preaching this morning and coming to this point, you'd hear him say something to this effect. I want you to kneel at the longest altar there is in the world. And as they would begin to kneel, he'd say, scoot over, mister, and let me kneel down right here beside you for a few minutes. And if every person that's known to be a sinner were to kneel today and cry out to God, the plan of salvation is adequate. It could set everyone free, and the entire world today could know the forgiving love of God Almighty through Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. Amen. So, dear ones, the plan of salvation through Christ is adequate. Hallelujah. Point number three. The gospel is sufficient to deliver every man from his fears, his frustrations, and his sins. The gospel is adequate. Now, beloved, we as Christian people sometimes are tempted to try to do other things than present the gospel. Sometimes I get amused. People think, well, I'll come through the back door and present the gospel here. Friend, when God devises a plan, you can't improve upon it. I know, like last Sunday night, someone was telling me last night about a person that watched us on television. And they said, well, said the service was good. But said, if y'all don't do something to that man, said he's going to have a heart attack right down in front of them the way he's preaching. And I know to the world, I know to the sinner out there, that the most foolish thing that there is for a man to get up here and preach and sweat and weep and bawl and squall and tell people to come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Don't go to hell, come to Jesus. That's very foolish in the eyes of the world. Some men consider that it's foolish to turn to Jesus Christ. While I was sitting in my office a few minutes ago, while Brother Brown was here teaching, the phone kept ringing, so I picked up the phone and answered, and there was a lady called up for prayer, and I could hear her husband in the background cursing and swearing, said, you don't need Jesus. You don't need a priest. You don't need a priest. You don't need a priest. I wanted to say to him, buddy, I'm not a priest. I'm a man of God. I'm a servant of the Lord. I've been redeemed by the blood. She don't need a priest. That's right. She needs Jesus Christ. But he didn't hear me. And he kept screaming and cursing. And finally, he slammed the receiver down and dragged her away. And the last thing I heard was her screaming to the top of her lungs. You know why he's like that? Because he thinks all of you people this morning are idiots. And he thinks I'm the biggest one of all because I'm preaching the gospel. But you know what the Bible says? God chose that through the foolishness of preaching, men should be saved. Amen? So, honey, whether you like preaching or not, if you ever make it to heaven, it'll be because you sit under the preaching of the Word of God. God chose that. I didn't choose it. I didn't choose it. This is why it frightens me sometimes when we try to rely upon testimonies only. Because you can hear an entire testimony and never hear any of the gospel. And testimonies are made to inspire. The word is made to set free. For the truth sets a man free. Hallelujah. What is truth? It's this blessed book right here. Hallelujah. And the preaching of the Word of God is adequate. It's as though Paul was talking to himself as he looked out across the world and he saw the world groping in darkness and in sin. And he said, how shall they know except somebody go and tell them? How shall they know except somebody teach them? And then he says, how can they go except they be sent? Because Paul knew that the answer to the world's need was the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the declaring of the truth of the word, because it's that word that sets men free. Yesterday I started walking through the lobby of the Fountain Blow, or Fountain Bay it is now, motel. And one of the security guards stopped me. He said, Reverend, excuse me for a moment, sir. But he said, I saw you last Sunday night. He said, I turned on and happened to see you. And he said, I sat there through the whole thing. And he said, sir, if more men would do that, it would turn more people like me around and put us on the right road. He said, oh, that did something to me, Reverend. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you're doing, because that's what men like me need. And I want to thank you. And I thanked him for his compliment. He said, sir, you don't owe me a thanks. I want to thank you for letting God use you to preach the truth and to let us know what we need to go to heaven. I'm here to declare unto you today that there is no substitute for the preaching of the gospel. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's well able to pierce into the heart of the blackest sinner today and lead him to salvation and deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you are afraid to bring people to the church for fear they're going to be frightened. Well, I'll admit they were frightened at the preaching of Jesus. Right? The scribes and Pharisees, it blew their minds. They said, we never heard a man speak like this. Never in our life. This man speaks with authority. You know why he spoke with authority? Because he believed what he was saying. Amen? You know why in many churches today, they'll read a little essay, they'll give a little talk, they'll give a little sermonette to tickle people's ears, and they'll walk out? Because they don't believe what they're trying to say. But the difference between me and them is simply this. I believe that every one of you that don't know Jesus Christ is going to hell. And every one of you that know Jesus Christ is going to heaven. Just that simple. It's just that simple. No ifs and ands about it. No black and white. No division whatsoever. There's only two places to go. One's to heaven, the other's to hell. Jesus made a way for you to go to heaven. He said, go and preach this word. That's what he said to his disciples. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. If that's true, that every person in this building that does not believe Jesus Christ and turn to him, they are damned. And everyone that believes is saved. Amen? Now, dear ones, you're going to be a half-hearted person until you believe that. Amen? And it's very easy for people to begin to take that for granted and start saying, well, God's such a loving God. He's going to let them go anyway. Some of you say, oh, it costs too much to be on television. It costs too much to preach on radio. I know it costs a lot, but it costs heaven a lot when he gave his son. Amen? Hallelujah. And the only way this world is going to be reached now is through the church. Did you hear me? God's done all he's going to do. Don't start looking for God to do anything else. He's done it. He has done his part. And I'll come to that again in just a few minutes. The duty of the church today is to preach this gospel that every creature may have the privilege to choose. Whether he wants to be saved or whether he wants to be lost. Amen. Now, some say, but Brother Gorman, I'm going to another church because in that church, they don't preach like that. Would you allow me this morning to share something with you and don't be offended at it? That would be just like a man who needed to have his appendix out. And he said, I'm not going to a surgeon because he'll cut my appendix out. I'm going to a chiropractor. Let him rub me. Amen? If you want to go somewhere and be rubbed today, there's a lot of churches that will give you a good rub down, send you on your way, trying to soothe you. Amen? But if you want to be helped today, plunge beneath the crimson stream of blood. Wash all your sins away. Wash all your sins away. Amen? It's not in a church. It's not in a church. Hear me this morning. It's not in a church. It's in Jesus. That's where the answer is. And Jesus is the Word. You say, well, I'll accept Jesus, but I don't accept the Word. This is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And any man that rejects the Word rejects Jesus. He is the Word. You can't accept one and reject the other. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants every one of you to catch that vision. To catch that vision. Because unless you catch that vision, you'll be guilty of kind of like tickling people's ears. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, nobody would like to come out of this building every Sunday night any more than I would. Hallelujah. And the next time I come out of here, I'm not going to fool this microphone because that kind of fumbled me last Sunday night. They're going to start popping and squealing on me. But I want to come out of here, yeah, because I want every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl to know there's only one way. It's not through the assemblies. It's not through the Baptists. It's not through the Catholic. It's not through a denomination. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. And unless a man knows the truth, he cannot be set free. Point number four. Jesus wants you to catch a vision of the power of prayer. If we believed in prayer more, we'd see more accomplished. Because there's power in prayer. Tremendous power. Did you know what? That through prayer, I can reach around the world. Did you know that through prayer, I can walk into the bedroom of a man in California, and there, through prayer, by the Holy Spirit, so trouble him that in the wee hours of the night, he'll be awakened and made to think upon his ways through prayer? Did you know that through the power of prayer, he can reach into the intensive care units and touch the lives of people and them be made whole by the power of Almighty God? Did you know that through prayer, you can reach into foreign countries and lay hand upon individuals that need help and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? That's how powerful prayer is. Prayer is the most powerful force that you and I have access to today in dealing with the problems of mankind. When you begin to pray, you move heaven and you move earth. You challenge the devil and you drive back darkness. When you begin to pray, angels sit up and take note. I want you to know demons begin to take note. And God the Father pays attention when you begin to pray. Oh, beloved, the man that knows how to get on his knees before God and begin to intercede before God, he can literally break the grip of satanic power upon the life of an individual. The man or the woman that knows how to pray and how to get a hold of God, they are a threat to the powers of darkness 24 hours a day. Because when they begin to pray, heaven begins to move. And when they begin to ask, the answers begin to come. Oh, let me tell you today that there is a power that's put at your disposal that's known as prayer. And if you quit pouting and you quit getting your feelings hurt and start to praying, you'll move that mountain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of your situations aren't going to get any better till you pray. Amen. I'm going to say something that's going to make some of you stand on your ear. But I've threatened to close the prayer room. I have threatened to tell Grace I want her to change her number and not let anybody have it. You know why? Because some of you are depending on somebody else doing it. And it ain't going to happen till you touch God. Hallelujah. You're the key. You're the key. You're the person. No, it's good to have someone stand with you. But I'm afraid there's some of you that's depending upon the prayer group touching God in your behalf. And things aren't going to get better till you pray. Amen? God wants you. Amen? He can handle all the situations if he can get you. But he wants you to draw nigh to him through prayer. Through prayer. And he wants you to catch a vision of what can be done through prayer. Glory to God. Man, there's nothing that tears me up anymore than as I begin to read the story and read the life incidents of men of prayer and women of prayer. People that shook entire nations. Let me tell you something, friend. Every one of you here today, you have relatives, you have friends, you have people that's in every office complex in this city. I'll guarantee you, if you went into any bank in the city of New Orleans and began to talk about First Assembly, that there are people in that bank that's got relatives that comes to this church, and in many of the banks, we've got employees that are in there. You could go into any office complex you want to and begin to talk about First Assembly, and they know about this church, and they either have a friend, or they have a cousin, or they have a sister-in-law, or they have a brother-in-law. They may think they're nuts because they come here, but they still got them, and they can't deny them. That's part of their family, and they're here. And that's everywhere. That's everywhere. You say, what are you saying, Brother Gorman? If you would just get a hold to God and say, God, like old Jacob did, God, I'm not going to turn loose till you save that old reprobate aunt of mine. Amen. I want that old girl saved. I want that old uncle saved. He may be a gambler. He may be a drunker. He may be chasing broads. But I want you to know, Lord, I don't only want him saved, but I want every broad that he's ever chased. I want her saved. And as you begin to pray, the power of God is going to move and souls are going to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not talking about a mamby-pamby sort of a thing. I'm talking about a God that is able to do the impossible if he can find a man that'll dare to believe him. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you, Sister Finley, what I'm trying to tell them, honey, is this. I want them to believe in prayer so much that when they pray so hard for that old unsaved loved one or friend that they can hardly wait to get over there to say, Aunt Bessie, how you been doing, honey? Been sleeping good at night, darling? Your sleeping pills still working? No, baby, they're not working. Oh, Auntie, I'm going to pray for you. Let me lay my hands on you and pray for you. Oh, I want you to believe that when you pray, he hears. And if he hears, he answers. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Whatsoever you ask, whatsoever you ask, in faith believing, he'll do. Believe it. Expect it. Go check it out. If it ain't working, something's wrong. Go back and do it over. Hang in there. He wants you to catch a vision of the power of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now some of you have been trying to break your loved ones. Been trying to break your husband. You've been trying to break your wife. Been trying to break your kids. But what's really happened is, in your effort to break them, you've toughened them up. And they're harder now than they were before. When you gonna get the message? You can't break them. When you gonna start praying and let him break them? Amen. He can hit them where they ain't been hit before. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? He knows where to hit where it hurts the most. He can take one little stroke and knock the breath out of them. Amen. He can bring them to their knees. When are you going to get out of the way and depend on prayer to do it? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, but Brother Gorman, when I start praying, they get worse and they get meaner. Sure they do. Sure they do. They rage and they curse and they swear. Like the old boy that was cursing his wife when she was trying to call me over the phone. Now he thinks I'm a nut. Him call me a nut? You should have heard what he was saying. I mean, the devil wouldn't even want to repeat that. And he got the audacity to call me a nut. Amen? But you know what? If you believe when you pray, ye shall have it. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. How many of you believe you're God's property? You believe that? Well, God's not going to let anybody butcher around on his property very long, because he gets upset and he's got power to do something about it. Amen. Are any of you in a hurry? Okay. Now John, I want you to be quiet. I want to tell something that happened to John right after John got saved. I don't want you up. I want you to be quiet. Right after John got saved, John went down and listened to all the preachers in Jackson Square. And I told him to stay away from down there, because a lot of that stuff he didn't need to hear. But he's like a lot of other folks, kind of hard-headed. So he went on down there, listened to him preach. One Sunday afternoon, he came to the office door, and I was just coming out. When I opened the door, there stood old big tall John, just a boo-hooing. Bawling so hard, his top plates already fell down, about to fall out of his mouth. I mean, that's just letting him have it. He said, Reverend Gorman, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you. I said, John, I can't talk to you now. Can't talk to you. Oh, but Reverend Gorman, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you. I said, John, I can't talk to you right now. He said, but Reverend Gorman, I just got to talk to you. I said, look, John, wait till after church. Wait, please. After church, I'll talk to you. Okay?
Okay, Reverend Gorman, but I feel horrible inside.
So after church, John didn't hear a thing I said, sat there and bawled through the whole service. And after the service was over, here he comes right to the front.
Reverend Gorman, I feel bad all down inside. I feel horrible. Reverend Gorman, I just feel horrible.
I said, well, what's wrong, John?
He said, well, I went down Jackson Square and said, I listened to this preacher preach, and said, this heckler came by. And so when this heckler came by, I said, I didn't like what he was saying about that preacher, but I didn't do nothing, Reverend Gorman. And he said, but he kept heckling that preacher. And said, I didn't do anything, Reverend Gorman, but so I didn't like it. But said, then he started saying horrible things about my God. Oh, and I mean, he was just all tore up. And then he said, and Reverend Gorman, that hurt me when he said that about my God. So I just walked over and laid one on him. And then he said, Reverend Gorman, I oughtn't have done that, should I? And he had me so tickled until I just grabbed him around the neck and I said, John, that was good for him. And I told my wife when we started home, I said, honey, I'll bet that old boy thought lightning struck him. Now you say, what does that have to do with your sermon? It has this to do with it. Some of those people that's heckling God's people, if they're not careful, he's going to lay one on them. And you can believe that. He's not going to tolerate that stuff. Amen? He'll put up with it for a while, but he gets enough.
And he's not going to put up with it. And some of you that's reaching out to God today, and you're praying and you're seeking God for your loved ones, and they're fighting you viciously, attempting to turn you around, attempting to destroy you, attempting to kill your faith, don't you give up. Don't you give up. The illustration that touched John, because many of you people don't know, but John was an alcoholic for many years. Someone says to me, Brother Gorman, you have so much patience with John. You know why? Because I know where he came from. And I love him. See? And whenever that the God who set John free, you see, John came to me one day and says, Reverend Gorman, I think God's talking to me. I said, what's he saying, John? He said, I think God's telling me that I ought to quit smoking. And I said, you really think that's God? He said, yeah, Reverend Gorman. He said, what do you think I ought to do? I said, I think you ought to quit. He said, you do? I said, yeah. He reached up, pulled out his cigarettes, threw them on the neutral ground over in front of the Legion Fields Church, and that was it. Jeff seen where he came from. John knew what God did for him. And whenever the person started talking against his God, God wouldn't take it. And John would not allow it because he knew what God had done for him. And before he realized what he was doing, he had already cold-cocked him. Right. That's exactly what he did. Now, I'm not saying that John was right. John knew he was wrong. That's the reason he wanted me to pray with him. He knew he had done wrong. But what I'm saying to you is this. You're the apple of God's eye. You hang in there and pray. Let God fight your battles. Don't you try to fight them. If you fight them, you're going to get bitter. But God will fight them and win, save you, and 99 times out of every 100, he'll save the person you're praying for. Amen. He knows how to save them without destroying them. Now I close the message. Point number 5. It's in your hands. God's not doing it anymore. He's done it. If you were going to improve on the plan of salvation, what would you do? Could you make God any more merciful? Could you make it any more attractive? It's to whosoever will. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You can't improve there, can you? Could you say, well, if I was going to improve on it, I'd have it where that the vilest of sinner could be saved. There's never been a person yet that's come that's been turned away. How could you improve on that? How? The vilest of sinner may come and find everlasting life. The murderer, the drunkard, the liar, the harlot, the drug addict. It doesn't matter who it is. Whosoever will may come. Can you improve on that? No. No way you can. No way. No way. Some of you Christians are saying, if I had more power, if God would do, God's not doing anything else. It's you now that's got to do. God will do whatever you believe him for. See, it's all up to you now. You say, oh, but if God would just grant me more power. He's given you access to all the power he's got. He can't do any more, Christian. He can't. There's not a thing more that God can do. Not one thing more that he can do. It's paid for. It's furnished. It's there. Everything is there. Where could you improve on what God is doing for the Christian? Where? He said, come unto me and I'll make you a son. Every person that believes upon Jesus Christ becomes a child of God.
You're not a stepchild. You become a child. A child of God. The church has at her disposal everything that she needs. All the church has to do is flex her muscles and believe it. That's all. There's nothing impossible with God. Simply nothing. All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. It's up to you. There's nothing more God can do. And people talk about, why doesn't God do this? And why? God's done all he's going to do. And now it's up to us. It's up to us. That's why your pastor feels like he feels. That's why that I know now is the hour. And this is the church's greatest moment. And if we let this one slip by, we're going to have to answer to God. There's never been a day like this. And everything I'll ever need, God is at my disposal. It's there. All I got to do is believe him.